four off.
There's a question mark. Is therefore, is the Torah against the promises of God? May it never be. For if was given the Torah, which is able to give life, truly from the Torah was the righteousness, or would be the righteousness. But the scripture, how'd you say this? You're so silly. The scripture shut in together everyone, or not even everyone, all things under sin, in order that the promise from the faithfulness, and again, is this faith in Jesus Christ? Is this faithfulness of Jesus Christ? Is this faithfulness in Jesus Christ? How do you translate this? Literally, the pistos Jesu Christu. So, the pistis, either of Jesus Christ or in Jesus Christ. Most straightforward would be of Jesus Christ, but in Jesus Christ also has a pretty proud heritage as well. Should be given to the ones who are trusting. For before the pistis came, under the law, we were, guarded. Is a good way to say it? How else does this give us? We were held in custody is another way of saying it. Having been shut up for the coming pistis to be revealed. Now, what does that actually mean when Paul is using pistis here? If I had to make a case for one reading, I would say that here he's using pistis in the substantive sense of the actual substance of the faith. For this thing to come, for the faith which is, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a number of ways you can read it, and it's pretty ambiguous. Anyway, there's something that's coming, which meets the name of Pistis. In order that the Torah, or so that the Torah, the word here is paedagogos. It's the best word you can translate this as babysitter. If you're in Greco-Roman culture, there's something called a paedagogos, which it goes, and it takes care of the kids until they're old enough to go and actually do the stuff they're supposed to do. And so until they're 14 or whatever, you have a paedagogos. So it's a slave, and it goes and it follows the kids around. It's kind of like, think of Zazu in The Lion King. It's like Zazu... like gets to, like, when the kids are young, Zazu is a paedagogos. He might teach the kids something at one point or another, but that's not the real main role. It's to keep the kids out of trouble. That's what the paedagogos does. This is what Paul is saying. He says what the Torah was a paedagogos. The Torah was our Zazu, you can say. It follows us around. When we try to go to the elephant graveyard, it tried to keep us in check because we needed that. That's what we needed.
I love all those movie references.
Sorry. That's kind of the analogy that he's using. Is there a teaching function to it? Sort of. There is some of that, but what a paedagogos does is less actual teaching of the kids, less instruction, and more, we're just gonna keep you guys in check.
Overseeing.
Yeah. So where was I? So that the law, a paedagogos of us, has become for Christ, for the Messiah. That's what the whole thing was. So you have promise right here. You have 430 years. Paedagogos. The paedagogos is meant to prepare these promised people for Christ. That's the way that that Paul sees the Torah as functioning. It's not the end in itself. It's not, no kid is meant to go and ultimately, like no kid is meant when he reaches maturity to still be taking orders from Zazu. Here's a good way to look on it. When Simba reaches his age at which he's supposed to be the guy in charge, he gives Zazu orders. He's the one that tells Zazu what's up. But before that period, while he's still the kid, Zazu is meant to hem him in and he needs it. Does that make sense? It's kind of like the way that Paul is seeing the Torah. It says, for this period, Israel needed this Paidagogos in service of these promises that were given to Abraham so these would come true. That's what this is doing. But now the age of maturity has been reached. Now this period has come where we're going back to Pride Rock. We're taking it back. We're stepping in to our, you can say, to our inheritance. That's the language that he uses, inheritance, all the time here. We're stepping into our inheritance, and in doing that, now, Zazu is still there, but he doesn't have the same role that he did anymore. If Zazu was coming up to Simba when he's beating up Scar and says, hey, actually, you should be going doing this thing over here, Simba would say, dude, like, look at what time it is. And I think it's essentially what Paul is saying here.
We still check in with Zazu sometimes.
Yeah. No, there's still... And Paul would say that Zazu has value.
We don't need Zazu?
He says that... Elsewhere he says, Zazu is good and perfect and... is, I don't know what's going on here.
I'm even Zazu.
Oh, boy.
I'm never going to call the Old Testament ever again. It's going to be renamed Zazu.
Literally, when I'm reading the New Testament, the Torah, to my children, I'm going to replace every single new reference to the New Testament as Zazu.
Old Testament.
There you go.
As Zazu.
There you go. I hope you guys learned that Old Testament is Zazu.
The math equation is the Old Testament equals the Zazu.
Lion equals Israelites, which equals us.
Oh boy.
Simba equals Israelites. Biblical things everywhere.
If you look at it, if you look at the early church, you don't want to understate the value of Zazu. Because like we were talking about the other day, the early church's Bible, it's Zazu. And so they look at that. Basically these texts as holding everything for the promises and the promised time that's come true right now. So it holds all the directives. Everything that Zazu has taught has value. It's kind of like where Paul says elsewhere, all scripture is valuable for instruction and all kinds of stuff like that. I think it's Paul. It might have been Peter. I can't remember. It's one of those. I didn't memorize that memory verse particularly well, I don't think. Dude, seriously. All that is valuable. And so that's why for the early church, they're not like, you know what, let's go, and what we'll do is we'll make a new book. We'll get it. We've had this old kind of Bible thing, but clearly that's the old Zazu time. We're not going to mess with that. We're big now, so we're going to go, and we're going to make our own book, and it'll be really neat. That's not what they do. They actually don't make their own book. They don't, again, if we say old, we say own book, they don't make a very clear New Testament for quite a while, because they're carrying around Zazu and they're saying, dude, Zazu is sweet, and this has stuff where it has these promises that are outlined and says what's going to happen when it's fulfilled. It has this eternal quality still, but not every single piece of it is meant for all people at all times. And so what you don't get is you don't get a ditching of the Old Testament. If anything, we're the people that have ditched the Old Testament. The early Christians certainly didn't do that. That's the only Bible they had. So we want to hold all of these things together and not just be like, oh yeah, that was totally old Zazu stuff. Because there is this honor for Zazu that's carried. And there's still this sense of binding that's there. There's still a sense of what Zazu told us has eternal ramifications.
So it's like, even though we've come of age and we may not take orders from Zazu, we still heed his teachings from when we were a cub.
You could say that. That's a good way of looking at it.
I'm but yet a cub, and you are my.
There's a lot of,
you and then, are our Zazu,
and you can also you can make it look it like this. You could say, imagine Zazu goes and tells Simba when he's a kid, hey, so someday all these promises about you being king are gonna come true. I know that you just can't wait to be king, but it just hasn't happened yet. Like, someday all these things are going to...
He can't what?
He just can't wait to be king.
He just can't wait to be king.
Thanks for that. Someday all this is going to come true. And when it does, when this does come true, you're going to need to know this. When you're king, you're going to need to know this thing over here. You're going to need to know this thing. And this is going to happen, and you need to be ready for this. And this is going to... This sounds crazy, but all you could say, everybody in the whole world is going to come worship at Pride Rock. They're all the giraffes and the cheetahs, and even the some hyenas will show up at some point. They're all going to come there. You need to know all of this stuff.
They're all going to bow their paws.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so there's also that function to Zazu as well. It's not just like, hey, rules and regulations for you. There's also this, hey, when this promise comes true, when you receive your inheritance, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And so the early church is looking back at Zazu and saying, it has all this directives for us. This is awesome. That makes sense? Cool. We'll keep reading. So that the Torah, a paedagogos of us, has become for Christ, in order that from faithfulness, or from, well, I won't even say, I'll just say from pistis, we should be justified, so the same way as Abraham. Now, when the pistis comes, no longer under Zazu we are. No longer under the paedagogos we are.
You literally replaced your readings in Torah with Zazu.
That's true.
No, this is the paedagogos here. So, but again, those are all the same thing. So, but that's what Paul uses for Torah. So you're, yeah.
The direct translation of paedagogos
is Zazu. Yes. For all sons of God you are, through the pistis in the Messiah Jesus. For as many as in the Messiah you were baptized, the Messiah, Christ, you put on. Not one there is Jew nor Gentile, or Jew or Greek, not one or not any, slave or free, not one or any, male or female, for all you one are in the Messiah Jesus. You can almost look at this as the fulfillment of, I mean, you can maybe understand this as Paul talking at the same time to both Peter and the Galatians. Because here he's reaching the climax of his argument. He says, look, because of this, all these other distinctions don't matter anymore. So this Jew-Greek distinction, it doesn't matter anymore, Peter. And for that matter, slave and free, doesn't matter anymore. Because you are now sons of God. You have put on Christ Jesus. You have received the promise. So all other distinctions, they just don't matter anymore. So I'll read it one more time. There's no more... Jew or Greek, not any slave or free, not any male or female, for all you one are in the Messiah, Jesus. And if you are of the Messiah, if you are of Christ, then of Abraham's seed you are, according to the promise, heirs. So you have received this promise if you are of Christ Jesus. You have received this promise. You are an heir to this promise. So chapter 4. Now I say, for as much time the heir, an infant is, no difference or no better than a slave, or he is no better than a slave, although he is Lord over all. So again, think of Simba. Even though Simba inherits everything, as long as he's an infant, he is no different from a slave. He has to do everything Zazu tells him to do. He is in the same sort of servile kind of category as everybody else is. Make sense? Even though he's the guy. But under epitrapus, you could say servants. What else does it give? Manager, former, foreman, steward, guardian. So under one of those, he is. And the oikonomus, which is like administrator, stewards, until the appointed time of the father. In this way, also we, when we were infants, under the, here's a phrase here, stoikeia tou kosmou, nobody has any idea what this means. Nobody has any idea what stoikeia tou kosmou means. It literally means, like, the elemental spirits, the elemental elements of the cosmos, of the world. Nobody knows what this means.
The elemental spirits of the world.
He uses this elsewhere. He uses it in Colossians. And when he uses it, it seems as though what he is doing is he is equating what's going on like in Judaism and sort of some of the Jewish stuff that's there with the stoikeia tou kosmou. So saying these elemental, kind of the basic building blocks, he's equating that with circumcision, with these things like that. And so that might be a way to understand this, is that the stoikeia tou kosmou are circumcision, food laws. And I think that we get that impression from Colossians, and that certainly fits in here. But it's just a weird phrase. It's a super weird phrase. So
Peter might understand, or Galatia.
Yeah, yeah. So under the stoikeia tou kosmou we were, having been enslaved. So we had been enslaved under these things. But when came the fullness of time, so when Simba comes back to Pride Rock, the God sent the son of him, having come from a woman, having come under the Torah, in order that those under the Torah, he might, this is the same verb, exagorase, so he might purchase out, I think the slave market connotation, he might purchase out, in order that the sonship we might receive, or the adoption we might receive. Now, because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into the hearts of us, crying, Abba, the Father, Abba, Father, so that no longer you are a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I'll just keep going, because we could stay on that, but I'll just, otherwise we, yeah. But then, indeed, not knowing God, you were slaves by nature, not to things by nature not being gods. So speaking to Galatians and speaking to them in their previous kind of pagan existence. So you were enslaved with these things that weren't gods at all. But now, this is kind of fun, now, having known God, having been known by God, it's kind of fun how Paul holds those things together. Now you guys know God. Wait, pause. Being known by God, even better. It's kind of a fun thing. I like that. It's like, I don't know. You can have a sense of, put it in evangelistic terms. You can say, do you know God right now? You need to come know God. And Paul would say, yeah. But even better, being known by God. That's an even better way of looking at it. It's like, now I am known by God. And you might say at that point, wait, doesn't God know everybody? Well, there's a sense in which, yeah. But there's also a sense in which, look at the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. He says to those who are, I think the goats, whatever, the ones that aren't good. He says to the goats, depart from me, I never knew you. And so the ones that are sheep, he says, hey, I knew you guys. You know why? Because I was naked, you clothed me. This kind of, he goes on like that. The other ones, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. So while God knows everybody, there is also a way of being known by him that is, you might say, unique. that's beyond just like regular knowing. And that's what Paul is saying. Yeah, so now that you guys know God, actually, you know what? He is even better. Now that you guys are known by God. Kind of a neat thing. I like it. So we were reading something.
The Bible?
Yeah. Now, knowing God, or having known God, and rather, having been known by God, how are you turning again to the weak things and the poor elements? Again, this is the same thing as like the elements of the world, the elemental spirits, whatever. The poor elements to which, again, he says again twice there in two different words. So again, once more, you desire to, you can say, to serve as slaves. So what Paul is doing here...
Desire to serve as slaves.
Yeah. So you have... Here's what's going on. You have, on one side, the Jews. The Jews have these, have circumcision. They have this stuff for when they're kids. For when they are, you know... when the promise doesn't come true for them. The Gentiles, what Paul says is, you guys are worshiping gods that weren't even gods. What he is, there's almost a sense in what he is doing, is he's saying, how, now that you guys have received the promise, now that you guys are Simba, why are you trying to go under Zazu again? Why are you trying to let him do it? He's actually, there's a sense in which he's sort of equating being pagans, being sort of where they were, worshiping things that weren't really gods, he's equating that almost with circumcision, with being under Zazu.
Is it because how they treat him? Is it because of like they're looking for righteousness and like all these things from that, or is it like?
I think it's just because it's something that is, you might say it's. It's a less developed form of the real thing. And the real thing that's given is the promise of the Spirit that they've received. So the real thing is this Spirit, is this sonship.
Holy Spirit, baby.
Is the pistis of Abraham, which they now have. The real thing is knowing God rather than being known by God. That's the real thing. And so it's like... this analogy is going to break down really fast. But here goes. You can say... this is going to break down really fast. When Simba becomes older, when he's become of age, who is it that he ultimately takes his order from? If you look in kind of like sort of the climactic scene that's there... It's from his father that he takes it from. You can see Mufasa as sort of like, I mean, sort of like a god figure, I suppose. He's on the clouds, kind of stuff like that. That's what God's like, I suppose. So he, at that point, he doesn't receive his orders from Zazu anymore. He receives his orders from his father. Directly from his father is where he gets it. So it's like Simba having received his orders directly from his father, then going and saying... oh, but Zazu, I should probably, whatever. Zazu, what's going on? I think Zazu says it. Oh, so. No, he receives his orders directly from his father right now. Does that sort of work?
Yeah, and he's like, why are you listening to Zazu when I'm kind of above Zazu?
Yeah, exactly. So it's you have this, there is this more mature thing that's there, this more developed, receiving this directly from the father that Paul is saying you guys have received. And now Zazu's back, and you're going to him instead of going to Mufasa. That sort of held together, which is
that didn't break.
It's better. It worked much better than I thought it was going to. So
glory session 2012 of Matt Thomas.